Welcome to Vision and Voices Podcast from Volunteers of America, Chesapeake, and the Carolinas. I'm your host, Monica Bisco, and today I am talking to Dawood Abdul-Wakil. He is a resident at Arlington RPC, and he had the opportunity for a scholarship with La Cocina VA. And he's currently getting his food manager certification through their program. Good afternoon, Dawood.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so you're getting a food management certification. Let's talk about that. How did you get to La Cocina VA?
Well, La Cocina was a suggestion for me. It wasn't my first option.
Okay.
I have a few young children. Mm-hmm. So I'm in a process of like going through a separation with the family. So my biggest thing was that I still stay connected with my children and be able to provide for them a good education. So initially I went in for a child development certification because I'm real big on information and education, because I feel like that's the foundation of everything. So that I have three young boys, I really didn't feel like I was at the skill level to really educate them properly the way that I feel like that they should be today. So that was my thing. I said, well, maybe I can go in and do child development and I'll be able to be there with them and help them with the process starting off in school. And then I can also brush my skills up and get allocated with how the educational system is going right now. Mm-hmm. But due to my background and some of my experiences I had in the past, I wasn't able to be qualified for the program. I was going through Arlington County Employment Center. Yeah. So even though they did initially have funding for it, but they didn't feel as though I was a good fit because of my background.
Okay.
So they, you know, it was kind of like heartbreaking to me. But at the same time, I was trying to figure, well, what can I do? You know, because at this point, I'm trying to establish a career that I really like to do and that I'm not going to, like, it's not going to be a burden on me. And I figured that I could go back into culinary arts because I've been working in food service for a long time. So this was my opportunity to just kind of like brush up my skills. And they offered the program. Initially, I didn't really want to go into the program because I said, oh, man, it's going to, you know, I didn't think it was going to take me anywhere. So that's how I kind of got introduced back into it. If that's the answer you're looking for.
No, that's fine. So you said back into culinary skills. So you have skills?
Well, I would like to say I have skills. I'm known with my friends and family as the like the grill man. Okay. Like every time when we have cookouts or parties, I'm always the one that is designated, even if I was invited. So I'm invited to the cookout, and then I get there, I'm all decked out, ready to just chill, and, oh, there goes Dawood. Hey, Dawood, you're on the grill today. So that's how my skills started to develop a little bit more. And just, you know, growing up, being in the kitchen with grandma and being in that type of environment all of my life, I really enjoyed being in the kitchen all my life and learning about different foods and stuff. And I jumped out there one time when I was like, I think about 19. Mm-hmm. And I went to culinary arts school. I went and signed up for the school and everything. And it just, I guess at that time it was too much. Mm-hmm. And it left with like a big hole that I have to fill, like student loans and stuff. I really didn't know about all of that stuff. I just, when I initially got into it and the responsibility of it, you know. So when I went to the employment center there and they told me it was a course that they could possibly find funding for, I said, you know what? This might be my opportunity that I've been looking for.
Okay. You know? So you got a second chance.
Yeah.
So through the second chance, I know that we talked about your food manager certification. What does that entail?
Well, first we had to go through a series of classes for about 10 weeks mm-hmm. where we had to study the Serve Safe manual. And I think right now they're up to the 7th edition. So it started off with food safety, and which is very important that a lot of people, they don't know about that. Even people that's been in food service for 10 or 20 years, they're not familiar with foodborne illnesses or different type of cross-contamination or things that can spring up from having bad sanitary practices in the kitchen. You know, so the first part of the course, it wasn't just going into the kitchen and learning how to cook, but, you know, learning how to properly manage yourself first and foremost in a restaurant environment, mm-hmm. you know, and just the professional side of it. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes going into a job, we just feel like, oh, man, I'm just going to work and coming home. But, you know, actually this course allow me to like to see a door opening for going to the next level in food, mm-hmm. not just having to be concerned about, you know, working at the minimum wage level for a long time, really.
Okay. So I know that you and your classmates prepare meals for the shelters and low-income housing that's part of La Cocina's food assistance program. Mm-hmm. And they distribute 12,000 meals annually. Mm-hmm. I know you're creating healthy food options for the residents. And how does that make you feel to give back even to the Arlington RPC that you're cooking for residents where you live?
Well, at first, I felt kind of shy doing it because not that I was ashamed of being in a shelter, but I really took it personal. Mm-hmm. You know, we're there in the shelter, and we actually get food sent in from caterers and from outside providers. And just to be honest, the food is really probably not the most healthiest food that you can receive, you know. And I know that once I found out that we were going to be doing the food assistance at the school, I told them that, you know, I wanted to help out any way that I could. And, you know, it was a struggle sometimes to really get the good food to go to RPC, because sometimes we might run out of one thing and have another thing. But we wanted to make sure that we were sending a balanced meal over there every time. And I took it personal in the sense that, hey, one of those trays might be waiting on me when I get there, you know. So I didn't want it to be where we're just sending anything in there. Or sometimes people start to think, oh, well, we just sending the food to a shelter, you know. So they just send them anything. But, you know, after a week or two, I let the people know, hey, guys, I actually live in this shelter that we're sending the food to. So let's do a good job, you know, because how would you feel if you lived in a shelter and then you didn't have the money or the resources to get any food and you can just accept what's being given to you? You would want something that looks good and tastes good, mm-hmm. you know? And I feel like that should be like a major concern, because a lot of people in the shelter, they're coming off of the street, maybe possibly living homeless for years on the street. Some of them suffer from prior drug addiction, alcohol, different psychological stuff, depression. And what you put into your body, that's the foundation of who you are. Like they say, you are what you eat. Mm-hmm. You know, so having a healthy diet will start people to start thinking more positive and living more healthy lives. And, you know, I feel like that out of a lot of people's main concern every day when they wake up in the morning is what are they going to put in their stomach? Mm-hmm. You know, I actually seen people digging in a trash can looking for food before, you know. And I always told myself I would never do that. But I just, you know, thank God that he didn't test me like that. But, you know, for a person thinking like that, hey, you know, I'm hungry, let me dig in this trash can. I mean, that's big, you know. So I think in our society, we should have a bigger concern on healthy food.
Yeah. There are so many people that are in shelters like the RPC, and they've lost so much. But a good meal at the end of the day is all they want. So yeah. It is soul food, food for the soul. And you're actually giving back to your very own community. And I think that that's amazing.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know, it's not just that I'm giving back, because I'm not anywhere, you know, but I just feel like I'm just doing my part. Mm-hmm. Because being in the situation, I have to be a little bit more mature and responsible to get out of that situation. Because I know that the next level is going to be a greater test. And if you want to advance and do better in your life, like, you're going to be tested. Every way you're trying to get to, the test is going to be greater. So that's how I look at it, you know, because I'm going through a lot of stuff myself. So if I can just be motivation right now at this level to help somebody, then I'm feeling like I'm doing my part, but that's going to help me to get to the next level. Not that I'm like going to step on anybody, but that I can, that maybe just to motivate, because that energy, when people get motivated, it's a big difference. Like you're saying, like, you in the shelter and you've been out all day looking for a job and you can't find a job, and you've been at the social services waiting on the food stamp card. They told you 2 or 3 more weeks, and you didn't get this paperwork in, and your counselor, you missed your counselor by 5 minutes or whatever. And you, like you say, you just want something good to eat, and the only thing is left is a lunch bag with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a bag of chips, you know. You're grateful for it, but you're like, man, I wish I had a piece of chicken and some rice with a little salad or something, you know. So, you know, and we were sending the food. We send the food in the evening, so it'd be the dinner. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a lot of involved, especially when you, like, I'm trying to build my life and get to another level in my life, and just going through the same thing everybody else is going through. Knowing, I guess the biggest thing is knowing that my trial is not bigger than the next person's trial.
Yeah. My grandmother used to play a song that said, if I can help somebody along the way, then my living will not be in vain. Mm. So I appreciate that. We are here with Dawood Abdul-Wakil on Vision and Voices podcast, and we'll be right back.
Vision and Voices listeners, you are invited to join leaders from the faith and philanthropic community for a unique opportunity to collectively address the needs of the most vulnerable in our community. Hope Has a Home, Spiritual Development Colloquium, on Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019, from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Silver Spring Civic Center, 8525 Fenton Street, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20910. Through this dynamic and participatory colloquium, we will work together to find creative solutions related to moral injury, mental health and wellness, social justice, education, housing, and youth and culture. To RSVP, go to our website, voaches.org/colloquium. COLLOQUIUM. Help us prepare our community for the future.
We're back on Vision and Voices podcast for Volunteers of America Chesapeake and the Carolinas. If you missed the first half, I am sitting here with Dawood Abdul-Wakil. He's a resident of the Arlington RPC. And we are talking his skills, his food management skills. So I guess we talked food. So let's talk RPC. How did you end up at the Arlington Residential Program Center?
Well, like I said, the whole purpose of me going to La Cocina was so that I can start a new career. So my family actually been living in Arlington for over 100 years. So, like, I got lots and lots of family there. My mother actually even lives, like, 2 minutes from La Cocina, where they're holding the school at. So I relocated back here, and it was an opportunity of whether I could stay there and go to school. It would have been a lot easier. But I know that going through the employment center, and that I found out that they have different opportunities for housing and for urban development. So I said, well, I didn't want to really have any crutches, you know? Like, my family can be a crutch where I could get too comfortable there or whatever. So I said, well, I'm going to take the time off from everything and just concentrate on the school, because I knew that the school was going to be the most important part of the career, because that's the foundation. But I hadn't been in school in like 20 years, so I didn't know what to expect. I knew I'm going to have to be reading books and memorizing stuff. So I'm like, oh, man, I don't even know if I can work. But I really need to work because I got these boys and I got responsibilities. So I say, you know what? I'm going to make a sacrifice. I'm going to go to the shelter. At least I know I have a place to stay, and I know that I have a meal every day. All right? That was the basic thing. I said, well, at least if I'm not working, at least I'll be able to just eat something, but I concentrate on the school, because I know that the work is going to come at the end of the school. So if I could hold out for 10 or 12 weeks, you know, or until I really got comfortable with the information in the school and everything, I can go and find a job and then just start working and going to school. I just didn't want to put too much on myself. So it was just a big sacrifice. And I came there, I signed up for the shelter, and they didn't have any space there. And then it was a big situation where I ended up with the kids, and I was like, wow, so maybe we're going to be stuck here, you know, with my mother. But then I said, well, all of us going to go to the shelter. They got a family shelter, so we just going to go to the family shelter. And it just so happened on the last 2 or 3 days that I had them, basically due to the custody situation and everything, that they went back. So in the meantime, while I had them, the lady had called for the shelter and said there was a spot open, and I had to turn it down because I had the kids, you know. So I had to wait about 2 more weeks, and then she said, you know, she called me and told me it was a space available there. I'm saying that to say, you know, my situation didn't get as drastic, like I was sleeping under a bridge or that I was sleeping in a park or at a bus stop like that, you know. But I wasn't too far away from that. You know, just that I had a family member that opened their door and allowed me to stay there. But prior to that, you know, prior to me coming there, like, I was homeless. I was sleeping on my couch in front of my house. You know, I got evicted out of my place. And, you know, just due to circumstances and bad decisions that I made, you know, and it really made me really look at myself and know that I got a lot of potential and a lot of capabilities as long as I'm still alive and I have that, you know, that I can still have, that I still have good health, you know, that I can't give up on myself, because if I give up on myself, I'm all I got. You know, if I always had a high expectation for myself, you know, so here especially in the DMV area, that expectation is greater because it's just building up and it's becoming more costly to live, and the rent is going up, and 1 month it might be, or one month it might be $1,500, the next month it might be $1,800, you know, so everything is constantly going up. So that's where, you know, I'm really just trying to get along with the program, and accept the resources, especially like in the economy and the way that the, everything is, you know, accept the resources right now while they're available for me. Because sometimes the resources are there, then when you go back, they're gone. Mm-hmm. So I found out that there was some resources that I took advantage of it, you know. And I figured, you know, I have a family and everything, but I can't do anything for them unless I do something for myself first, you know. So that's the reason why I ended up there.
Okay. So you said you have two boys.
I have four boys.
Four boys.
But I have three of them, three young boys. I was actually with them yesterday. Hudaifa and Muhammad and Abbas. Hudaifa's five, Muhammad is three, and Abbas is two.
Okay. So if they came right now and said, Daddy, we hungry. Mm-hmm. Make us anything. What are you going to make?
I don't know. Let me see. Well, you know, they like to make pizza from scratch.
Okay.
So they even know the ingredients. The, you know, 2 cups of flour, a cup of hot water, pack of yeast. 2 or 3 ounces of oil. We might put some herbs in the crust, and we'll make the crust. They like organic sauce, so I get the organic pizza sauce and organic cheese. They really like chicken pizza or beef pepperoni, so that's what I get for them.
Okay. You're making me hungry. So I'm like, I don't want to order Lido's anymore.
then we'll get the fresh potatoes. We'll slice the potatoes up and make French fries.
Okay.
And then after that, they always like popcorn. So we'll just pop fresh popcorn in the house with the pink Himalayan salt.
Okay.
So that'll be our meal and our snack for the evening.
Okay, cool. So I guess as we wrap up, I know that you mentioned you had dreams of educating children on the importance of healthy eating. And where do you see yourself in the next 10 years? Owning a restaurant or managing a restaurant?
That's a good question. I see myself doing something with those things that I said, like, I really don't want to tell you, but I'll always be afraid, like, this is the shark tank. Like, I just said it, then next thing I walk outside, like, hey, that's my idea right there. But, no, I really want to start, like, I was telling my mother yesterday, I want to start, like, a kids' food network where educating the kids with the same stuff that we're learning right now is something that we should be being taught like in home ec, like from the elementary level, so that it'd be just naturally integrated into everything that we do. So it won't be so much technical, like going to school and have to learn, you should have to have the certification, but yeah, that certification should be everywhere you go. Everybody should have to have these certifications. So that you know that you're not going into an establishment that's overlooking these things, and then it's all type of like you putting yourself susceptible for diseases or for different bacteria that get transmitted or anything, you know, and just it raises the awareness in the society. If you have to be like this at work, then around your house, you're going to be like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have a cleaner environment that you're going to create. Maybe that'll cut out on a lot of the litter and trash, because people will know that, wow, if I keep littering in my community and throwing trash, then maybe if I stop doing that, maybe it'll cut back on pest control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, maybe, you know, because of these diseases or It help in a lot of different areas with overweight, with, you know, overeating, just eating the wrong things. It's not like certain things. It's nothing wrong with eating a piece of fried chicken, but it might be what you're frying it with, or it might be, you know, the process of cooking the food, and it would change the way that we think about a lot of stuff. Me personally, I would like to just start with like a little food cart, and just draw the attention towards a person having to travel just to get a nice good tasting meal, you know. And then maybe down the line, who knows, it may expand to more, but I would just like to do something small, exclusive like that, you know. And it's the World Wide Web, so on the internet you can do anything with children or, you know, things like that. But that's my main goal, to have the Kids Food Network, where I can showcase the children helping out in the kitchen and making food, and they're learning about different things. And it'd be like just to create a more learning environment.
Perfect. Well, you've taken advantage of the resources, and you have just a few more hours to complete before your certification. And I know with your talent and your drive that, God bless you, you will
have the
Children's Food Network.
I want to say something, though. I want to say that, you know, after thanking God, I have to say, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, that, you know, that He opens up doors for us. And when the doors open, sometimes we can't just run straight through it. Sometimes you got to, you know, take a look and see if it's safe to go in there. And then you do things according to your own capabilities. He really opened his door up to La Cocina, and I'm really, truly appreciate the opportunity that they gave me. You know, they took their time with me. They walked me through a lot of things. And those young ladies over there, they're so nice, and they're so kind in the way that they relayed the information to us. And, you know, that all of us were in that process together. It wasn't like they were bigger than us, or we're bigger, smaller than them. It was like, you know, we all just have to play our part, you know. And that's a big thing that I've been learning since I've been there and associated with their program, you know, that I don't have to be better than you. You know, I just have to just do my part, because everybody's path is mapped out for them already. It's just for me to know where my obstacles come, so I know how to get over the obstacle or around it or however, but I know how to deal with it properly, you know. That's what I'm learning. At 41 years old, I never thought that I would go back through a course and be able to complete it, you know, and just be able to say, hey, I'm starting my career at 41 years old, but I'm all right with that, you know, because I know that I still have a lot of life left, you know, and I know that I have individuals coming behind me that are really looking to me to do good and just to give them good advice, you know, just to give them that inspiration. And that's what's been driving me. Those guys right there, they were really, really, truly been a real good support, starting with Patty and Daniela, Chef Saul, Miss Barbara, Paloma, and Nicole. Sorry about that.
That's fine.
But I just wanted to mention them by name, because they really been helping a lot, really, in the process. And I want to thank you guys for having me here, too.
No problem. Thank you for being here. Thank you to La Cocina. Thank you to the Arlington Education Center. And thank you to the Arlington RPC staff and the staff of Volunteers of America Chesapeake. And this is the end of our very first revived Vision and Voices podcast. Thank you again, Daewood. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.